Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and welcome to the Friday edition of John Solomon's Reports. God, I think I know the name of my podcast by now. John Solomon Reports, I know that. Brought to you by, of course, justthenews.com. We made it through another week. I didn't know if we would, but we did. Hey, Joe Biden made it through a press conference. A lot of talk about that. His notes, his cheat sheet, his visual guide of reporters that you could see in the shot. But I'm more focused, not on the performance, but on the things he said. I think there's some very important claims that now we will measure to see if he follows through. And one of those is he says that all of the illegal immigrants who've been captured at the border will be returned to their home countries. That's a big promise. There hasn't been a long record in Democratic administrations of that happening. But he said it yesterday, and we have an opportunity as journalists to measure up and see if he will deliver on that promise. But today, we're not going to do any stories from justthenews.com. You can go there and read them yourselves. We've got some great ones. Daniel Payne, as always, doing some great news. I wrote a story about how important what went on in Georgia yesterday, the election integrity bill that was passed by both houses and signed by Governor Brian Kemp in one day. All done. Speed. Action. And now, those who oppose it, liberal activists who think it's a form of suppression to be asked for your ID, are suing. We're going to file that court case. Both sides get their say. But the future of how America will conduct its elections is now got a ground zero in Georgia. Check out that story. Check out the lawsuit. Check out what the bill does. All of that information is embedded in the story I wrote this morning that I think is important. But election integrity is on everyone's minds because Georgia took the first steps, but we're a long way from settling what will be the rules in this country. And this is a big question. 15, 17 years ago, I remember there was a bipartisan commission. I think it was called the Federal Election, the Commission on Federal Election Reform. I think Jimmy Carter on the left and the president, former president, and James Baker, the former chief of staff on the right, Republican, they co-chaired and a commission and made some very prescient recommendations. Of course, most of them didn't get followed. That's how all things happen in Washington. We have commissions and then no one follows up on them. But they said that as we move to more mail voting, more digital voting, all the things that 15, 16 years were just a twinkle in the eye that are now reality, certainly after 2020, they're widespread reality, that voter ID was an important part of ensuring the process. And today, voter ID is being portrayed as a Jim Crow measure, as a form of voter suppression. Now, I have a hard time myself understanding this, and I don't often give my opinions, but when I go buy a six-pack of beer, I got to show my ID at the grocery store. When I took my SAT test many, many moons ago, I had to show a form of government ID. I had my driver's license by that time, so it was there. When I go on a plane, it's either my passport or driver's license. Most African-Americans, Hispanics, whites, Asians, we all have ID requirements in so many parts of our life, and yet somehow there's an argument that that is racist suppression when it comes to voting, the most valuable gift that our founding fathers gave us in this constitutional republic. That debate has to be settled. Just 15, 16 years ago, left and right, Democrat, Republican, people of all stripes thought that was a good idea. And today I don't get it, but somehow it seems to be a form of obstruction. I talked to a few folks in the last week, my good friend, Bishop Audrey Shines, who, by the way, has a fantastic TV show on Real America's Voice. And he said, I'm not making, this is a great line. It's almost racist. It's almost plantation-like to say that a Black American, a Hispanic American, a poor American, an urban American, a young American, whatever the excuse is on suppression, that they can't have an ID. They're too lazy to have an ID or provide it when they vote, when they have to do it in all the other places, buy beer, all the things you got to do. We went over that. That's an interesting thought. Aubrey Shines often has many provocative thoughts, and he is always willing to speak his mind. Check out his show every weekend on Real America's Voice. It is a fantastic show. One of my favorite new ones on the Real America Voice Network, where we're partnered as a partner. Just the News is, of course. Who knows? Maybe one day I'll have a show on there. Oh boy, I'd love that. That'd be special. I'm not sure I'm made for TV, but it would be fun. All right. That's enough with the chatter. We want to get to the real stuff today. It is the Friday before Passover. We're entering into Holy Week before Easter in the Christian community. And I wanted to put a hard topic on the table today. Here at Just the News, we don't just have the politically saleable topics or the cool topics or the trending topics. Sometimes we try to deliver the vegetable topics that we all need to know about. And one of those is human trafficking, sex trafficking of minors. It is a travesty. The numbers are unbelievable. And today we're bringing someone on the show that is a true expert, but not just an expert. He has put his money, his heart, his entire life's effort into fighting this because he saw it firsthand. His own 12-year-old sister was human trafficked, sexually trafficked for 6 years. She was rescued. She went through an arduous process to come back and live a good life, a mother having a stable life today, despite all the trauma inflicted on her. There are estimates of 300,000 to 750,000 minors in America that are currently in sexual trafficking right now, we're told. And we need to face this. We need the facts. We need to know what's been done, what's not been done, what the differences between the Trump and Biden administration approaches are early on in 2021. And so we've brought on this show, Yaakov Uyens. He is a passionate advocate. He runs a ministry and groups that help rescue children from sexual exploitation, that help get them through all of the difficult recovery period that happens, that educates parents and neighborhoods and teachers and the schools and Boy Scout leaders and anyone who needs to know what the signs are, what to watch for, what predators do, whether they're targeting your child when they're in an online game or in an online chat or on a social media or in their school or whatever. Yaakov Uyens has the best all around 360 degree approach for this. He also has a movie house, After Eden Pictures, that I think when you watch this movie, 8 days, if you've been on Netflix and you haven't watched this movie, do yourself a favor. Listen, it's not easy. It's not something you're going to feel good about at the end of the day, but you will be smarter, wiser, and better to save your children, someone else's children, from the potential of sex trafficking when you watch this movie, 8 days. It is powerful. It is gut-wrenching. It is real. Because Yaakov Uyens built this movie out of the real life stories of victims of sex trafficking. But we're going to bring him on for the whole show. That's all we're going to talk about. It's not going to be easy, folks. But you know what? Do yourself a favor. Do yourself a moral good on this. Listen to this show. Listen to what Yaakov has. Think through in your own life what you might be able to do to be a sentinel, a guardian of some child. Maybe it's someone in your neighborhood that you have a bad feeling about, or someone in your household or your own child maybe being targeted online, where so much of this begins. Doesn't end there, but it begins there. Yaakov is going to enlighten us all, but so stay tuned. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We love our sponsors, our advertisers. Thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for what you do day in and day out to make Just the News possible. If you want to support Just the News or John Solomon Reports, the podcast, All you have to do is buy, subscribe to their our great advertisers and sponsors, services, products. I do. You know them all. Ancestry.com. So many to mention. Kansas City Steaks. Oh, God, I'm such a favorite fan of those. Bambi, if you're running a small business and you need a ready HR, great folks at Bambi. I really recommend you doing that. Cost-effective, smart, great HR for your business, for whatever you're doing in the business world as an entrepreneur, because I know there are a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to the show. But support them and tell them that you love us, and therefore you love them, and thank them for doing what they do. All right, quick commercial break. When we come back, Yacoboyans, buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be a difficult but important journey into the real consequences and solutions of human trafficking. We'll be right back.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, a very sobering but absolutely essential news topic we have to address today, the incredible scourge of human trafficking. And I can't think of anyone better to walk us through where we are in this travesty than Yacoboyans, who is a movie maker, a longtime activist. If you haven't watched his feature film, 8 Days, you are missing something extremely important. You will be way more educated about when you hear human trafficking, it sounds like a buzzword. It is an extraordinary scourge, and I can't think of anyone else who's brought it to life better than Yaco. Yaco, welcome to the show today. We're so appreciative of your time.
John, thank you. And thank you for being willing to step out there and tackling a really important subject. Appreciate you.
It is. It's a hard subject. And, you know, we're so busy, we want to cast it aside in our conscience and in our minds and not deal with it. But we've got to take this head on if we're ever going to address it. And your own personal story, it just hits me right in the middle of the heart when I hear it. Tell folks about your journey in South Africa, what happened to your family, how you ultimately became such an important voice on this issue.
Yeah, it's such a story to tell. You know, it's a personal story. And really, that there's two elements to the story. One, me as the brother. And then the second part of the story, my sister, who was the victim and now survivor of sex trafficking. And Ilanka's story is an amazing one. It's really her story to tell. She does it so well in her book, Keeping Secrets. But it's a journey of a family and a sibling impacted by this scourge, as you say it, in South Africa, be it, and then to immigrate, you know, that was over a 6-year period. So you're now talking about the movie 8 Days, we depict 8 days, but this is a 6-year period. And then, you know, we're raised without a father, a single mom. I believe women walk on water because I see moms just tackle these issues. I need men to step up. But then we immigrate to the United States, John, which was always our plan. The land of the free, the home of the brave. We always wanted to become citizens. I'm a proud citizen of this country. I'm a legal immigrant. I love this nation. I bleed red, white, and blue. I can't tell people how blessed we are to live in this country, to be born here as a gift from God. There's not even a question about it. And I arrive here in the U.S., and then I see trafficking in Chattanooga, Tennessee, for the first time in the U.S., and it stunned me to a halt. Because we had to learn trafficking through my sister's eyes. We had to learn after the fact what was done, what was said, how the perpetrators worked with her and what was done. And look, the violent rage that builds up in you, and then the self-judgment. I'm the oldest brother, but there was no father, so I'm just the father figure. So how could this happen on my watch, you know, as an 18-year-old high school kid? I mean, and you go through those emotions, and then you get shocked to reality that it's in the USA. And you could have, I was convinced that there was not trafficking in the US until I saw it with my own eyes, based on what I learned through this experience during Lanka's life. And then you know, then we started diving into it and, you know, started doing work in it, started profiling and highlighting it in the U.S. and realized this is a big problem here that nobody at that, we're talking 2001 to 2009, nobody was even talking about it. And then in 2012, we put a stake in the ground. Although we had done work in other countries at that point in time, we put a stake in the ground and said, we are going to fight for the American child. Our organization, the American child, a lot of people do work, and I'm thankful for it. Cambodia, the Philippines, you know, the Dominican Republic, the American child is being trafficked. And John, the fact is this. We are the number one nation on earth. There's zero exaggeration here. We're the number one nation on earth sexually exploiting children for profit. There's not another nation that does more commercializing sex with children than the United States of America.
It is unbelievable to hear that said, and yet it is irrefutably true from the factual basis. You know, people will talk about Prague or Hungary, and obviously they have their own problems there too, but this is the number one black market for human sex trafficking, and it's time that America got real with that and accepted it and tried to fight it, right? I think that's the thing we have to do.
The illusion is that it's Taken, the movie Taken, that it's an American foreign exchange student that's in, you know, Brussels or in Paris, and she gets picked up, grab and snatch. Snatch and grab is 1% of trafficking. Children are being trafficked in suburbia. The fastest growing trend of trafficking in our country is familial trafficking, where it's family members trafficking their own children.
Oh my God.
This is hidden in plain sight. The kid goes to school in the morning, maybe plays on the soccer team and does sexual work against his or her will, and it's boys as well, in the afternoons and evenings. This is what's in our nation, and it's hidden in plain sight because, John, we are in this nation doing some abomination of work to the degree where we're legalizing these acts under law. We're writing legislation in this country at the moment that's lowering the age of consent against the statutory rape clause, that's bringing comprehensive sex ed into kindergarten. Gavin Newsom and many of these guys, over 27 states in this country, is teaching comprehensive sex ed to five-year-olds, introducing the concept of masturbation in the classroom to a five-year-old, introducing the concept of safe anal sex to 10-year-olds in the school classroom. What happens when you introduce a concept like that to a teenager, a 10-year-old that's never thought of anal sex? He Googles it. Yeah. He explores. The second he engages online, the predators, you might as well send a flare in the air and tell him his zip code. And they're on him like white on rice. Mm. We have 10-year-olds addicted to porn. The average porn entry in our country for boys, average, is age 8. It's insane if you look at the numbers. The science is catastrophic about what's happening to our children, but we're writing laws because there's a propensity in our nation right now to sexualize children as young as possible.
It is a remarkable moment in history. And when you look at this, I mean, one of the things I always like, I love statistics and data because they often paint a picture. Do we know, what is the best data estimate of how many children are sexually trafficked in the United States each year?
Here's some data analytics for you. Under the backdrop of 1% of sexual crime is reported, 1%. Right. So whenever you see an Amber Alert, 1%. Whenever you hear sex trafficking, 1%. Now, with those numbers being said, 75,000 kids, these are minors, 17 and under, so don't count adults yet, 75,000, 17 and under in the state of Texas per day are victims of child sex trafficking. 75,000, over half a million.
And did you say just in the state of Texas?
Just in the state of Texas.
Wow. And where does that data come from? Is that law enforcement data?
This is law enforcement, FBI, CIA, all the NGOs in the country. It's collective data by everybody, but driven by law enforcement. Now, this is not 75,000 new children per day. There's a collective body. Half a million in the U.S. per day. Now, on the border, here's a real border number for you, true number. Okay? 60% of children that cross the border have at some point in their life been sexually abused, maybe in Mexico, Honduras, Cuba, somewhere. 30% of the children that are going to cross the border today, 30% of them will fall victim to sex trafficking in this country. 30% of them. Whether they come across with a parent, quote unquote, so hard to prove or not, come with a mule or coyote, 30% of them will fall prey to sex trafficking. When our administration says we're going to place these children in foster care, let's talk foster care. 60, these are real numbers. 60% of foster children in the United States today have been sexually abused. Not necessarily trafficked, but there's sexual abuse. The system is infiltrated with pedophiles. But, you know, a judge 2 weeks ago apprehended who sat in the only case that he presided over was CPS case.
Right.
Right. So the system is
wrote
ranked.
About that really tragic story.
Absolutely. So to say that a child can come across the border and, you know, American children, and we're not even talking about imports. We're just talking about the predators saying the American child is for sale. They know it. And there's a law to protect them in this country to a degree.
It is unreal. During the time when border traffic dropped, when the border wall went up after the 2019 surge, was there any evidence, any statistical evidence that sex trafficking went down during that period, at least the border version of it? What did we learn, or do we have any data or visibility yet into whether increased border enforcement reduced, you know, some trafficking, at least across the border?
Yes, 100%. Again, this is not a political statement. It's just fact. The 45th president of the United States, which happened to be Donald Trump, was the first president in history to use his office and the power of the White House to say children should not be sexually exploited outwardly. Wrote legislation. I was in the room. I was 5 feet from him when he signed the executive order for the first time. Created an executive branch between law enforcement, because law enforcement does not share information. Just FYI, they do not.
Really?
When a kid is trafficked in Dallas, Texas, and the next minute we find her in Nevada, in Las Vegas, Las Vegas PD is not talking to Dallas PD. Donald Trump came in and created a coalition where CIA, FBI, law enforcement, U.S. Marshals, Sheriff's Department started talking together, working cases together. First time in history, we saw a radical change in trafficking across the border. We saw a radical change in trafficking in the nation. We saw apprehension and actual conviction, because it's one thing to find a guy, but what normally happens is they'll find a guy that's trafficking a child, and ambulance chasing lawyers will plead that case down to a misdemeanor, a drug charge, a weapons charge, or something, you know, assault, not trafficking. So these guys walk. So the victims know this. They don't talk. They don't share information, because they know these guys just get back out. We saw a change in all of that over the last 2.5 years. Right, we saw a massive change because funding was appropriated for special task forces. You can't ask regular law enforcement to fight sex trafficking. Regular law enforcement is doing well just to police the community.
Yeah.
They're underfunded as it is, and this is a very skilled profiling mechanism of finding a child that's hidden in plain sight, that plays extracurriculars, but she's being sold for sex by her father or her uncle or the school principal. Right. There's Epstein, hidden in plain sight. So it's a very particular skill set. So you need special task forces where police are trained. Well, that funding was nowhere. Funding was appropriated. We saw a spike. Now that funding's pulled again.
Why did the funding get pulled? Is that because the Biden administration reversed that? Was that one of the executive orders that got reversed?
Yes. In the first 10 days, not even the first 100 days, in the first 10 days, some of the most critical executive orders that President Trump signed. And again, I don't care if that was a Democrat or Republican, just the law that was made. Within the first 10 days of the new administration, those orders were reversed. And one of the orders that was reversed was that Trump signed this executive order against child sex trafficking to appropriate funding and weaponize the FBI to hunt down predators. That was reversed. The coalition that was formed, the interdepartment coalition, was reversed. There was an office established in the White House for the first time ever, an actual office in the White House specific to child sexual exploitation. We have, since the new administration took over, we have not heard. We collectively, many of us served on an advisory board to the White House. We have not heard a word from that office. That office is non-existent.
Wow.
Why? John, this is the most bipartisan issue in our nation. We're talking
about, no
doubt
about
sexually
it.
Abusing children.
Yeah, no, there can't be a single politician that could oppose this, because it just offends the most basic of the human conscience. So what do you think the Biden administration needs to do? All right, they've undone the Trump executive order, probably because they're trying to undo everything. But what do they need to do tomorrow? If you had a moment to talk to President Biden, what, Mr. President, you should do X. What would you advise him to do?
I'm actually reaching out to the administration, and we're asking them for an audience. And I'm going there not angry. I'm just going there saying we need to fix this. What they need to do is they, as an administration, and then now we're told it has to be said the Biden-Harris administration, that administration has to come out in public and say, we are denouncing the sexual exploitation of children. And we're going to give our law enforcement and our NGOs in this nation everything they need to keep America's children safe from predatory behavior, which means you have to then also crack down on child porn online. You have to.
Yes, I know
Section 230, and I know Zuckerberg and these guys are trying to get more loopholes, but you can't use your First Amendment right and say, well, we got to stand by while people victimize children, 17 and under, 18 over. I understand it's a different conversation, but you can't fight this crime, but let child porn run rampant. Porn is the feeder drug. So I want this administration to first acknowledge it. We haven't yet to get an acknowledgement out of them. Acknowledge it. But there's a problem, John, because if they acknowledge it in the country, they have to acknowledge that there's trafficking on the border. And the second they acknowledge that there's trafficking on the border, they have to acknowledge that the border system that they're employing is not working. So it's all political rhetoric. And I'm just saying this. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on as a politician. You're elected by the people. If you cannot keep America's children safe, you do not care about this nation's future. That's our future. We can't have children sexualized in the classroom, sexualized on the border. And so I'm asking this administration to step up and then put your money where your mouth is. Appropriate the funding. Let me give you an example. This is despicable what I'm about to tell you. Okay? Child sex trafficking. Which government department do you think it falls under? Where's the chain of command within the executive branches of government? Where do you think it sits? Sex trafficking.
You would assume it would fall under the Justice Department and the FBI, correct?
It's under the Labor Department.
Really?
So why is trafficking in the Labor Department? Because it's been misappropriated forever as labor trafficking. There's a big difference between labor trafficking and child rape, sexual exploitation.
This should be under the
DOJ. 100%. Where funding for these kind of things are already earmarked. There's no funding earmarked to fight child sexual exploitation in the Labor Department. There's Jim Acosta. Acosta was there in 2007 when Epstein walked. He was one of the guys who helped Epstein walk.
Right.
Yes, he became the head of the Labor Department. And then when the crackdown happened, he resigned from the Labor Department. That's one of the things we did not accomplish that I know was on the president's table, was to move trafficking from the Labor Department to the Justice Department. That needs to happen immediately.
What are some of the most effective programs, effective tactics that you've seen progress? When progress has been made, what are the most important elements of a solution? We now have an overwhelming portrait, thanks to your good work, of how bad the circumstances. When you're talking about 500,000 children a day, that should disturb all of us to the bone. What are the best tactical and solutions that you've seen implemented thus far that should spread across the country, spread across the world?
This is going to sound simple, but it's, according to me, the solution for everything in our lives. Fathers have to father again. We have to fight this fight at a micro level. Everybody wants to fight DC and Hollywood. And I say, no, I'll go and we'll do that. But I need regular Americans to take ownership of their street, your home, start in your home, get rid of anything that has a propensity to make your child an easy target. Engage with your child. Start in the home. Then on your street, go to the Parent Teacher Association of your school. Go to your principal and say, are we talking about the danger of sexual exploitation online? No, we're not. Why not? Bring experts in. Talk to the kids. Explain to the children today there's a wolf out there. This is how he prowls. This is how he talks online. If the only thing we do, John, because we can't keep doing triage.
Right.
Rescuing a child, as important as it is, that's 10 years of therapy, by the way. Okay.
Right.
The damage is already deeply inflicted
at that point.
We have to get ahead of this thing, and we get ahead of it by taking the morality of our culture back, by arming parents with the information, on how to look in your community. What are the signs that a child could be under duress? Doesn't mean it's always trafficking, and they can go to our website and learn. We are connected with 177 organizations in this country, and that we help resource that fight trafficking, these safe homes. We are so understaffed, underpowered, underfunded in this fight. It's not even funny. We have to arm the parents, and then school principals, teachers, right? And then honestly, get into the churches, go to every single pastor, and you say, Pastor, are you talking to our men about porn? Number one, are you talking to the youth about sex trafficking? And the answer is no. And if that pastor is not willing to immediately say, we should bring me resources, then I would argue anybody that's willing to look the other way, to play see no evil here, no evil here, is probably complicit in some manner. Because no action in this is action. You are making it easy for the predator. And so if community by community, small, think small, just think my street, talk to your neighbor, talk to your friends, parents, talk to family members, and then start having real sex conversations with your children, 13 and up. If you're not, the school is. Their friends are. And they're misguiding them. They're pushing them to gender fluidity, crazy experimentation. And the predator is sitting online saying, thank you for grooming, call it grooming. Thank you for grooming my next victim for me. So if we can raise the risk profile of every child in this country in the eyes of a predator. So when a predator looks at a child's Instagram, Facebook, the new platform we launched called Free Space, right? If he looks at a child and he goes, that's a target. I need him to look at that child and go, that's a high risk target. I'm going to pass. The way we raise the risk profile is by giving the children information that they know how these predators behave online. Know the guy that just DM'd you and told you you're beautiful doesn't care about you. That's a possible predator. Flag him. Call your father. Dad, there's a creep talking to me online. Engage. I tell fathers today, one of our number one ways that boys are being sexually exploited, coerced, and moved into trafficking situations. You know how that is? On playing live games on Xbox and PlayStation.
Wow.
With live players, because it's communication. So I tell fathers, every other time when your son plays, get in the game, play with him. Listen,
find out who he's talking to, right?
Who's talking? Listen to the type of language. You don't have to say you're there, but if there's any sexual innuendo, a comment about one of the avatar's body, oh, look at this woman's breast, oh, she's hot, what? And your 10-year-old son is playing, that's not an environment that you want your son predisposed to, because most likely a guy on that environment is into child porn. But parents don't know. They have no idea because they pacify their children with technology in this country.
Yep. It's become the new babysitter, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Are there any communities, any model communities where initiatives have started that you say, you know, I think they got this right. They're getting somewhere with this. Any experimental grounds that we should be watching for learning lessons?
Yes, you should look at an organization called Samaritan Women in Baltimore. Now, there's different components. So you've got awareness and prevention.
Right.
So we got to prevent this. Then you got your recovery and rescue. And that's a process. There's law enforcement and NGOs work together. These cases are normally built by non-government organizations, but you need law enforcement to go through the door with a warrant. And then you've got recovery, which is long-term trauma-informed therapy, and then reentry. Those are the different. And most organizations pick one of those. We fly at 30,000 feet and we resource all these organizations and we help all of them. So the Samaritan Women, incredible model for recovery. Safe houses, they get massive results in reentry so that these women don't relapse. They don't go back into the system. Victim Services, that's the first 30 days after someone's rescued. Dallas, Texas does an incredible job. Traffic 911. I mean, the best in the nation with Victim Services. Incredible work about just giving that victim everything he or she needs. Do you know that the most difficult thing to do in this fight is to keep a survivor, which is a victim that is extracted or rescued, to keep that survivor alive? Most deaths happen from rescue to the first 30 days.
No kidding.
That's where the suicides happen. Post-rescue. Post-rescue. And so to keep them alive. And then on the recovery standpoint, there's amazing organizations that recover. I would argue we saw such an incredible work by the U.S. Marshals under President Trump.
Yeah.
The FBI got special task forces. Now that's dried up again now, but that's a difficult fight because you've got to build a case and rescue a child. And it's one thing just to rescue. We're in two rescue operations right now. You've got to rescue a child, but you've got to rescue in a manner where it can stand up in court. Right? So you can't just go grab the child. That's good. You rescue the child, but you want to take down the system. You want to take down that pimp, that cartel. Right. Kind of like, you know, so you want El Chapo. You want the whole thing to fall. That's very difficult because you have to work with law enforcement and the crime's transient. It moves. They move the children. And when they don't, they protect each other, such as the school principal with the father that's trafficking the child. And I know Americans want to go, that doesn't happen. As long as you say it doesn't, you allow it to happen. It absolutely is happening as we're speaking today. Within 4 miles of where you're sitting, there's children available for sex. No, it doesn't matter the zip code. It's in every single zip code. It's just where we are in this nation because we embraced a sexual revolution in the 60s. And we have fallen since. There's not a single society, civilization in history that has survived that embraced sexual immorality with children. Not one. The Roman Empire fell because of that. The Greeks fell. The French fell. America will fall as what we know America is to be if we are okay with drag queen story hour at Barnes & Noble. And we're sexualizing children and indoctrinating children with premature sexual concepts that married couples can deal with. The brain is not ready for that. You can't. You're going to destroy a generation that would never be able to fight for freedom in the future, that would never be able to be concerned about the First, Second Amendment or their constitutional rights. When a human being is sexually violated, they go into a survival mode, John. It's survive.
Yep, that's what it is. That's all they can do. How do I get through the next 12 hours?
Exactly.
Yeah, such an amazing thing. Yakko, your passion is real. Your progress and success is measurable. And yet the road ahead on this issue is still so very long and complicated. And first off, how do if folks want to get your movie 8 Days? What's the best way to watch that these days?
They can buy the film, physically buy the film from our website, sharetogethernow.org, or Google my name, YakkoBoyens.com. Or if they do that, most of the proceeds will go to organizations. Or they can buy, you know, they can watch it on Netflix, on Amazon Prime, on Tubi. I mean, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah, thank God
it is. Yeah, thank God it is. It's in 200 countries. It's been seen by over 100 million people around the world. And it's a tool. It's a training tool. And just so people know, the proceeds from that film, we pour into organizations across the country, helping them, equipping them to fight the fight for local communities. We ask people to take ownership of their, you know, my faith is everything, John. I got to. And I lead with my faith. Unashamed. And so Ezekiel 33, this is sobering. Even if people don't read the word of God, at some point you got to just revere and fear it just a little bit. Ezekiel 33 says the following, if the watchman on the wall, and I paraphrase, if the watchman on the wall does not warn the community of the evil that's in the community, the blood from that community is on the watchman's hand. Now I ask you, where are the good men? Evil exists when good men do nothing. It is our duty to be watchmen in this country, not to be a watchdog over people, but to watch over our children and warn community. Hey, there's bad behavior in your community. Hey, that piece of legislation is going to harm a child. That curriculum can't be in your school. It's going to sexually exploit a child. We cannot stand by. The blood will be on our hands.
It is so important to be informed and to be engaged with your children on this and anyone that you know that has a child. If someone's listening today and they believe that they have a child, a friend, a daughter, a sister, whatever it is, who needs rescue, who needs that sort of counseling, that post-traumatic period, how do they get in touch with Yakko Boyens Ministry or through your other organizations? What's the best way to first create a point of entry for that person today?
Whether they need a resource, victim services, you know, whatever it is, we're here to help. info@sharetogethernow.org. info@sharetogethernow.org. We will field that email. It'll go to the appropriate department. We will get back to them, whether it is, like I said, hey, my child's missing and I'm not getting help, or we're struggling, I need we need therapy, or we need whatever services we need, you know, sanitary, so whatever it is. Whatever it is, you know, and then we will, if we don't handle it internally ourselves, we will then link that family with the right resource somewhere in this country, preferably close to where they live, so that there's a, you know, an affiliation close by to help them get through this and get turn victims to survivors and help families reunite. And honestly, we don't just want to have people survive, John. We want people to thrive. The stories, if you read my sister's book, if you see what that woman has become, incredible. It's incredible. She's a mother of two. She's pregnant now with her third. That doesn't happen, by the way.
How awesome.
That doesn't happen. You don't go through trafficking and then live a functional life. You know, so few get to do that. Right. And so, but you can with the right resources and the right people and with faith and God's divine providence, you can turn those lives around and they become powerful voices against this in the community.
She is an inspiration for us all, as you are, because this is not an easy topic to talk about. It's not one that people really want to hear. They'd like to turn their face away. They'd like to turn their earbuds off when something this hard comes up as a subject, but you said it, the watchman is as guilty as the predators if the watchman is not doing their job, and we're all watchmen for our children. So, Yako, thank you for the time, for educating us, for the passion and the professionalism that you've brought to this issue. And I know we got a long road ahead of us, but it sure feels comforting to know that you're on the front lines of this very important fight. And we're going to be staying in tune. I want to stay in touch with you, particularly as you approach the Biden administration. Find out what's going on there. We want to shine a light and get them back on whatever course they need to be to address this issue. So hopefully we'll have you back and you'll keep us up to date on that.
John, thank you. I'll be back anytime you'll have me. I thank you, your whole staff, the organization. You're a warrior for putting that out there. I appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, you too. You have a blessed weekend. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the day.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, folks, I think we're ready for a weekend. Boy, that was some heavy stuff, but it is important stuff. And as disappointing, horrifying, gut-wrenching it is to know that this crisis is at the epic proportion it is, what did Yako say? 500,000 children today will be involved in some form of sex trafficking today, sexual exploitation. That is unacceptable in the greatest country in America. But as hard as all that is to hear, smart and sage as all the advice is there, it is kind of inspiring to know that there are people like Yako Boyans, like her sister, like the many others, the brave Marshals Service and ICE agents and FBI agents and local law enforcement that are fighting the scourge on the front lines. I think Yako also put down a very important thing that we all should be watching. We're going to watch it at Just the News here too forward. The Biden administration reversed some of the Trump executive orders on human trafficking. What will Joe Biden do to pony up on this issue to get us back on track to fight this scourge? That's a great question. We're going to follow it going forward here at Just the News. All right. We've earned our weekend. I know I feel like I have. I hope you have too. Go enjoy the weather. Get ready for the holy season. If you practice faith as a Christian, as a Jew, this is an important week, Passover, Easter, Holy Week, a moment of reflection, a moment of reminding us that we all have a moral obligation to this country, to our neighborhood, to our families, to ourselves, to do the right thing. I think Yako challenges us all to think about that obligation this weekend. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. I suspect we'll be doing some investigative reporting, some big news stories. So come on back, check us out. We'll have some big guests as well. And until then, kick off your shoes, watch a little March Madness, maybe a little baseball. We're getting close to the open of baseball season. Have a great weekend. That's what I'm going to be doing. Always, always remember to cherish that amazing family that you have. God bless you. We'll be back soon.